Well,
praise the Lord.
Amen. If you brought your Bibles with you, I want you to go to the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is way back in the Old Testament, sort of kind of in the middle. You got to pass Psalms and Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, all those. And then you get to Isaiah. We're going to return to chapter 40 of Isaiah. And this is the second part of a message that I entitled last week, Our Great Big God. This is part two. The other day, Robert Kennedy Jr., who is appearing before the confirmation committee, he said this. For the last 20 years, I get on my knees and for 30 minutes pray to God that he will put me in a position to end the chronic disease epidemic and bring health back to our children. And it seems like God has answered that prayer because now he's in a position to make a change. Imagine eating a delicious McDonald's fry that only has as a recipe potatoes, salt, and oil instead of 17 ingredients. You may not like Robert Kennedy Jr. You may not like his political stance. That's not what we're talking about. You may not know his faith in God. But I think what he said really points out to what God said in Isaiah chapter 40, especially verse 31. This should appear in your notes and it will appear on the screen. But those who trust in the Lord, and what I want you to do is I want you to circle that word trust and then draw a line on your notes or in your Bible. Just you can draw a line, a circle and a line, and then write the words wait or believe in or hope. Those who hope in the Lord. I memorized it as those who wait in the Lord. Those who wait in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, will find new strength. Some of your Bible say they will, their strength will be renewed. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God is asking us, you and me, to wait on him. Wait on God. Now, for us sometimes, waiting has to do with stalling. Wait, you're stalling. So, because I'm very open with you, this last week I had one of those dreaded colonoscopies. Yes, it happened. Best sleep you'll ever have. But the night before preparation is like from H-E double hockey sticks. You know what I'm saying? So they hook me up with IV, and they roll me into the surgical room. They put sticky stuff on my chest to monitor my heart. They put oxygen, and I'm watching everything happening as they're getting ready. There's a big old screen, really sharp-looking screen with sharp-looking images. And I know the doctor had asked for a certain contraption, so they're figuring it all out over there. And then somebody says, turn on your side, sir. And I literally said, wait. I did. I said, wait. Let's talk about this. I said, is there any other way? They thought it was very funny, but I was serious as a heart attack, okay? I was like, hold it, stop, wait. They didn't want to hear about it. Okay, they turned me over, and it's all good, whatever. When God says, those who wait in the Lord shall renew their strength, that word wait, he's not saying, I'm stalling on you. I'm stalling on what you want. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying here on wait is like, I want you to be sitting on the edge of your seat anticipating. I'm going to do something really special in your life. That's what he's saying. So through the prophet Isaiah, who is writing to people who are exiled in Babylon, he's saying to them, hey, listen, be on the edge anticipating that something good is going to come your way. You hold on God because something's happening. And if you know anything about God, you know that he's working behind the scenes. You can't see him sometimes. You don't know what he's doing. Nothing's happening that you could tell, okay, God's on work here. But God is working behind the scenes all the time. Working on your behalf and on my behalf because of one reason and one reason only. God loves you. Bottom line. For your notes, I want you to write this down. If you're going to take notes, the notes up here on the programs, and I'll fill in the blanks for you. Here's the first blank. By the way, when he says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, the word renew there means literally change. So what God is saying, listen, is those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, meaning when you become weak because all the things that are happening in your life, God says, I promise I'm going to change you from weak to strong. It's a promise from God. Those who wait on the Lord will be renewed in their strength, will be changed in how they face their difficulties. Now, for your notes, daily believe God and anticipate the Lord doing great things. So daily believe, and then on the second blank, anticipate, on the third blank, great things. And God promises amazing feats to his followers. Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. You know, wings are like eagles, like you see on the PowerPoint. Eagles soar using wind currents, and they can go as high as 10,000 feet in the air. And they cruise at a speed of 30 miles an hour, just cruising, just chilling, just looking down. It must be an amazing sight. But you know that eagles have been clocked to busting out into a speed of 150 miles an hour as they approach a prey. God is saying, you, one day, are going to soar like an eagle. He says, and you're going to run. You're not going to get tired, which speaks to us about strength and stamina. Now, you either hate running or love running. Anybody here hate running? Yes, the majority. But those who run, love running. I have my cousin in Puerto Rico, he's like a brother to me, and he runs three times a week. He runs 3 to 4 miles, three times a week. He is 70 years old. And he's on the northeast side of the island by El Yunque, which is a protected national forest. And so he runs up and down some of those mountains. And he told me, he's facing surgery on Tuesday, he told me, my heart is strong. My blood pressure is right. The blood is flowing freely. They say that running reduces stress, strengthens muscles. God is saying, I'm going to renew your strength. I'm going to give you endurance and stamina so you can do whatever you need to do. And then he says, he promises, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar. They will run. And they'll get tired. They'll walk and not faint. When I think about walking, I think about something fun to do that doesn't involve running. And it's good for you. And you know, God knowing how we are, maybe he says that because God is not a joy killer. You with me? God is not a joy killer. In fact, you know, I've witnessed to people before, and even I myself thought, okay, I'm not going to give my heart to God because he's going to take away everything I love to do. No. God loves you and wants to bring joy into your life. And when we think about walking, we think about maybe noticing things that we never noticed before. And wow, you know, celebrating things that we are now discovering all of a sudden. You can even pray as you walk. And walking also improves your health. So God promises us the blessing of soaring, running, and walking. It's all good. So for your notes, write this down. God adds zest, put the word zest there in your blank, zest to your life, and empowers you. And empowers me to do what you never thought possible. Somebody reads that verse 31 and says, isn't that sort of kind of in reverse? Soaring, running, walking. Shouldn't it start slow and progress like walking, roaring, running, soaring? Shouldn't we go from slow to fast? For your notes, soaring first, then running and walking is a picture of the Christian life. And let me explain that. A picture of the Christian life. When you first get saved, when you give your heart to Jesus, you are so excited about the Lord. If you're ever anything like me, when I got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible stories. I didn't know anything about really anything at all. I had seen some cheap Puerto Rican movies about Jesus, but it didn't affect me in any way. But when I gave my heart to Christ, then God began to open my eyes to the accounts of what Jesus did. I was wowed by it all. I was just wowed by it all. And when I would hear about Old Testament stories, I'd be like, you got to be kidding. I'm just wow, wow, wow. When you get saved, you just can't get enough of God because he's new to you. So when you get saved, when you give your heart to Christ, I had a guy in college who used to say, well, you gave your heart to Jesus just because you wanted, and you're making all these changes in your life just because you wanted. And I'm like, no, 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 bro. Listen, you don't understand. When you give your heart to Jesus, it is the Spirit of God begins to work inside of you to want more of God. And then finally, the guy got saved. And he's like, oh, man, now I understand what you were saying. When I got saved, I couldn't get enough of church. I couldn't get enough of reading some of the stories in the Bible that I didn't know anything about. I wanted to be at church. I wanted to worship. I was like, oh, well, give me more. You get saved, you get baptized. You want to get baptized because that's what Jesus did. And so you're soaring. When you get saved, you're soaring with God. You're on an all-time high. But then, some of that excitement dies off as the weeks go by and reality sets in. And instead of soaring, you begin to run. You begin to realize that the Christian life is not a sprint to the end. The Christian life is a jog. Does that sound right? A jog. Jog. A jog. Not a jug that you drink, a jug. Watch out. Are you with me? It's a jug. Am I saying it right? Jug. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying jug. So you're jugging. Y'all are saying the same thing I'm saying. All right? You're saying the same thing I'm saying. Don't be looking at me like, ah, Puerto Rican. No, 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 no. You're jugging. You run. You realize that it's not a sprint, you're running long distance, and it requires endurance. You know, when you're in the stage of running, you're willing to do anything for Christ. You're willing to commit yourself to do anything for the Lord. And then eventually, you're just walking with God every day. Just walking with God. You're just keeping pace with the Lord. I'm thinking about all this day-to-day experience as you walk with the Holy Spirit of God. Two things came to my mind. For your notes, I want you to write down the word surrender. Soaring, running, and walking requires total surrender. These are great promises of God. You're going to soar. Soar. You're going to soar. You're going to run long distance. You're going to walk, and it requires commitment, right? Total surrender. And then number two, a second thought was, even when you're keeping pace with the Lord, you may experience a call from God. Even you're walking with God day to day, but you may experience a call from God where he is asking you to go to a long-term commitment for him. So he's taking you back to running. And it could be anything. At any point in your life, it could be a volunteer. God wants you to volunteer. The Holy Spirit is pushing you to volunteer to help people and minister to people in the name of Jesus. It could be a career change that God is pushing you to. It could be a mission opportunity that God says, hey, you ought to do that. Or it could be a long-term. Some people committing themselves to long-term mission work. God may call somebody here to be a preacher. Could be. See, at any point in time, as you're living for God, the Lord may just point you in a direction and say, hey, I want you to commit your life to this. It may be nothing you ever thought of, but there you are. You gotta be open to that, y'all. People are like, well, I don't want to open myself up because I don't want God to send me somewhere to Pakistan. But God is not going to send you somewhere where His grace is not going to provide. You know what I'm saying? And then, even though you're walking with God, or even if you're running with God, there are times when God sends you soaring as you worship Him and you feel like, oh, Lord God Almighty, you're awesome. And you soar. Spiritually, mentally, you're like, man, there's nothing like the Lord. If you allow me, I'm going to make another quote from Robert Kennedy Jr. After you have a spiritual awakening, you can't live off the laurels of the spiritual awakening. You have to renew it every day. You have to renew it by staying in that posture of surrender. So maybe when the Lord is saying, hey, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar and run and walk. These are the results of surrender to God. God asks you, are you surrendered to the will of God in your life? God asked myself that question. Am I surrendered to God? For your notes, write the words, please, agility and adaptability. God promised you, if we may bunch soaring, running, and walking, if we bunch it to two words that can become practical application, then it's agility and adaptability. Agility and adaptability. You want to, you know what? You know this. Life is going to throw the kitchen sink at you. Bad things sometimes. Bad relationships. Sad times. Broken dreams, disappointments, bad deals. Somebody takes advantage of you. Broken dreams, all these things. And I think what God's promising us here is that He's going to help us maneuver through all of that. Through the power of the Spirit of God, He'll help you maneuver through all these difficult challenges that you did not know were coming. He will fight your battle, y'all. He will battle for you. To help you so you can overcome. To help me so I can overcome. It's a promise to those who love Him and follow Him. God says, I'm going to help you soar you. I'm going to help you run even when you feel like just dropping. I'm going to help you stay walking. Helps you overcome. One thing you want to refuse to do for your notes, you want to refuse to sink into despair as you trust God. You don't want to sink into despair as you trust God. You say, how can I focus on God when my world is collapsing? How can I think about soaring and running and walking when I feel like somebody's pulling the rug over under my feet? I'm glad you asked that. What you need or what I need to be able to soar, run, and walk no matter what happens is we need to lay a strong spiritual foundation of how great and big and awesome God is. Okay, are you with me? When the wind is blowing at your back, lay a foundation of your great big God so that when all is said and done, you are still standing on that foundation of God. When the smoke clears, you're still standing. So Isaiah chapter 40, before you get to verse 41, the prophet has been pouring on his readers how great, big, and awesome God is. He's laying a foundation for them before they get to verse 31. And last week, we were talking about the fact that the Bible says, we read it in chapter 40 of Isaiah, we read that God takes all the oceans of the world and scoop them up in his hands. Who does that? Now, it's an imagery. You remember we talked about anthropomorphisms. Thank you. Back there, big word. Anthropomorphisms giving God human qualities. So what the prophet is doing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is he wants people to realize how big God is. So he says, hey, listen, did you realize that God can just go down and scoop all of the depths of all of the oceans in his hands? It's like, and then we read that God measures the canopy above us. He measured it between his thumb and his little finger. That's what he said. God is so big that he looks at the canopy under him, and he goes like this, and he measures it. Okay, it's about this big. What? You see, that's the kind of thing that chicken fries your cerebellum. It's like, well, we also read that God is in total charge of everything. Even over the nations, the Bible says that God looks at the leaders of nations and he's like, it's nothing. So I want to ask you a question. How big is your God? Or how small is your God? Because if you worship a little tiny God, church also, so I'm going home to do whatever. If your God is like this tiny, when the world hits you hard, what's that little tiny God gonna do? So I gotta ask you, I gotta ask myself, is my God too small or my God really big? Chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 18. The prophet writes, to whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Well, there's not a picture anywhere, because God is spirit. Have you ever looked at your DMV picture in your wallet? I know some of y'all go, hey. Oh. In fact, we apologize to people. Hey, listen, this is my idea, but I was just having a bad day. You know what I'm saying? It's a terrible thing. There's better pictures of me in my phone. I go, I'll show you. Here's the thing. There's no bad picture of God. God says, who are you going to compare me to? Nobody. Because the only comparison is God being compared to himself. How can you do that? So you want to worship him. Write the word worship, please, in your notes. You want to worship his greatness every single day. Worship his greatness. Listen, when I let the dogs out at night for the last business of the day, and I step out in the dark, and I just love looking at the sun. When I look at the stars, it just blows me away. And I'm like, oh, Lord God Almighty. And I begin to try to quote a verse, and I just like, God, I'm yours. Worship God, because he's huge mongo. You know what I'm saying? Big. Look at what it says in verse 25 and 26 of Isaiah chapter 40. The holy God asks, who compares with me? Is anyone my equal? Look at the evening sky. Who created the stars? Who gave them each a name? Oh, he names them. Pluto, Goofy, I don't know, you know, oh, Pluto is a Disney, no, I don't know, you know, Pluto, Goofy, Donald, he has names for him. Who leads them like an army, says the prophet. The Lord is so powerful that none of the stars are ever missing. This is what I read in Astronomy Magazine. Astronomy Magazine. There are 100 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy, and there are 2 trillion galaxies like our Milky Way galaxy in the universe that God created. That is estimated to add up to a number of 200 billion trillion, or something called 200 sextillion. They didn't teach me those kind of numbers in school. You know, 200 sextillion. And for God, they're just, all of them just fit in their hand, his hand. Wow. How great is our God, who said, God said, the Bible says this in the beginning, God said the word, and it was so. Enormous God. But then I was reading about God putting all these incredible details into even the smallest of things. So, a large drop of water has almost as many molecules inside it as there are stars in this universe, I read. A large drop of water contains 3 billion trillion molecules. And I wrote down, that's 3 with 21 zeros behind it.
Yikes.
And inside each molecule, there are two atoms that are composed of 3 components, 2 hydrogen and 1 oxygen, right? 2 hydrogen and 1 oxygen. And this is what this means. That's 3 billion trillion molecules times 6. Because of all those atoms and hydrogen and oxygen in there. I don't know how to multiply. I don't know how to add that. But somebody who has a lot of time in their hands said that if you were to take the molecules inside a big drop of water and make them as big as a grain of sand, they said you could build a concrete highway 1/2 mile wide and 1 foot thick from New York to San Francisco. What? That's the God we worship. That didn't come together because the earth exploded into some, or because some blob decided to create something. The ooze, or whatever it is. We just worship an amazing God. Verse 21 through 24, have you not been paying attention? This is God speaking to his people who are in exile in Babylon for 70 years. Have you not been paying attention? Have you not been listening? Have you heard these stories all your life? Don't you understand the foundation of all things? God sits high above the round ball of earth. This is from the Message Bible. The people look like mere ants. He stretches out the sky like a canvas. Yes, like a tent canvas to live under. He ignores what all the princes say and do. The rulers of the earth count for nothing. Princes and rulers don't amount to much, like seeds barely rooted, just sprouted. They shrivel, and God blows on them. He's talking about all the leaders of the world, the president, and all this terror. Here's God. Like flecks of chaff, they're gone with the wind. That's real power. Psalm 61:11 says power belongs to God. And then Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts, says the Lord, are not like yours, and my ways are different than yours. No kidding. So next time you think or say, or next time I think or say, oh, God's not going to do that, who am I to know the mind of God? God is saying, I'm completely different than you are.
I think different.
We're not the same here. We're not on the same level here. God is up here, and we're like way down there. Or next time you say, oh, God was wrong when he did that. He allowed that. Who are we to question the majesty and the wisdom and awe of an almighty God? We can't. God is eternal and sovereign beyond comprehension. And his knowledge is unlimited. Here's good news. God came into the world by form of a virgin and lived among us. Jesus was he. And Jesus said, I am with you always. We're talking about the one who said, let it be so, and it happened. So we're not talking about some God that's so far removed from us that doesn't have any idea what's going on. We have a God who became human, understands where we are and how we live and how we function, and says, I am not going to leave you alone. I'm going to walk step by step with you every step of the way. So I read an incredible story out of a C.S. Lewis magazine. But we read this story when we were going through 40 Days of Prayer several years ago. This guy, evangelist by the name of Ken Gobb, he's now in heaven. But he told a story about answered prayer and about how great God is. And he said that he was traveling one day many years ago on I-75 in Dayton, Ohio. Him and his family, they just needed a break. And so they stopped somewhere in Dayton, Ohio, somewhere. And he told his family, listen, y'all go to the restaurant, get a seat, and I'm just going to walk around. I got to stretch my legs. So he started walking around, he said, and he passed a paid phone. For those of you all who are young, at one point in time, there were 2.2 million paid phones all over the nation. And these were phones that were outside a building, usually, that required quarters, dimes, and nickels. And they were in a pole and sometimes in a booth, and you go over there and you, and then you dial and you, okay? They're in the middle of everywhere. Outside gas stations. But anyway, Ken is walking around and the phone starts ringing. And it keeps ringing. And it will not stop ringing. And Ken thought, okay, this is weird. And he thought, maybe there's an emergency. So he decided to pick it up. Hello? On the other line, the voice says, long distance call for Ken Gobb. Ken said, I almost fainted. And he said, I'm looking around to see if this is candid camera. Is there a candid camera somewhere around here? He didn't know what to make of this. And so the lady's like, long distance call for Ken Gobb. And so the guy says to him, this is incredible. I'm in the middle of nowhere and I hear this phone ring. He's telling this to the operator. I hear this phone ringing and it's directly for Ken Gobb. And she's like, sir, is Ken Gobb there? She said, she started getting exasperated with him. He said, yes, ma'am, this is Ken Gobb. Then another voice started speaking and said, Mr. Gobb, my name is Millie. She said, you don't know who I am. And then she started crying. And in tears, she said, she explained to him, I just wrote a suicide note, but I don't want to do it. She said, and I saw you on TV. And I said, God, if you're there, if you help me, I'm just going to give prayer. I need your help. And when she started praying, she said, I remembered you on TV. And I said, God, how am I going to get a hold of this man? Because I know you could help me. This is prior to Google, before Google existed. She said, I didn't know how to get a hold of you. And I'm praying, God, if you would just help me get a hold of you. She said, and all of a sudden, numbers started popping in my head. And I started writing all those numbers down. And I thought, God, if this is Ken Goff's phone number, oh, if I could just talk, I know he can help me. And so she dialed this number, and the operator connects the number that is the number to the payphone, and it begins ringing while Ken Goff is just happens to be walking by it. And she says, are you at the office, sir? He said, no. She says, well, where are you? He said, I don't know. You're the one who called. She said, I don't know where I'm calling. I just had these numbers in my mind and I just wrote them down. She said, what are you doing there? He said, I'm answering a phone in the middle of nowhere. He said, I began to talk to her, and she asked Jesus to come in her heart in our conversation. Don't know what happened to her. He said, but I walked away from that paid phone, completely blown away with this electrifying sense of God's concern for his children. He said, to think that there are millions of phones with innumerable number combinations. And for me to be walking around this phone, and it rings, and it's for me. He said, I went back to my table, to the table where my wife was, and I sat down. I'm totally shocked. I'm stunned. And I say to her, you won't believe this, but God knows where I am. I want to tell you something. God knows where you are. God knows your cell phone number. God knows your address. God knows your social security number. God knows your check-in number. God knows where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. God knows everything about you. And I'm here to tell you that he wants to help you. And I think that's the crux of everything I've been saying. I think this is what God wanted me to say today. You need to understand, y'all, that God wants to help you. So, we close the words of Isaiah 40. Verse 27. How can you say the Lord does not see my troubles? Or how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Because they're suffering in captivity, or they're slaves. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who wait in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk. They will walk and not faint. You're a child of God, maybe you feel like fainting. Because you've been running so hard and walking so hard and trying so hard.
and you feel like it's getting you nowhere.
Wait. Those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings on eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not faint. Take it to God. Let Him hold your hand, carry you through, give you strength. See what happens next. Amen? Let's pray.
Father, I'm just kind of blown away by the whole thing. There might be somebody watching me on Facebook right now. Maybe somebody sitting here. Maybe you're watching me on Facebook and you're like, boy, I don't know this guy you're talking about. It's all by faith, and if you would just ask Jesus Christ to come inside your heart by faith and believe that He died for you and your sins and resurrected from the dead so you could have life, if you would trust Him as your Savior and commit your life to Him, you will begin to see a new world. A new world is going to open to you like never before. You ask Jesus something like this right now. Lord, I believe You are a great big God. I believe You came into the world to save me. And right now, I surrender to You. I believe You rose from the dead, You're alive, and I ask You to be my Savior this morning. Forgive me my sins. Sorry for everything I've done. I commit my life to You, God. Help me live for You from this day forward. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, listen, if you gave your heart to Christ, even here, if you gave your heart to Christ here, or if you gave your heart to Christ on Facebook, but if you gave your heart to Christ here, I just want to pray for you. Anybody here? So, man, I just prayed that prayer with you. I opened my heart to Christ. Anybody here? If you just gave your heart to Jesus on Facebook, I want to tell you, God promises, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always. Father, You alone are worthy of praise. Glory and honor belong to You. Help us not take for granted that all these things we see just happen to appear. But help us worship Your majesty and splendor and thank You for all the things You've created, even the things we can't see. May Your name be praised and blessed. Lord God, my brothers and sisters, they're going through difficulties. We're all going through difficulties. Help us wait on the Lord and renew our strength when we're weak, God. We're just trusting in You, Your power. Thank You for loving us the way You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much.